on the Wintrust Business Lunch today. But before we spend any of your money, let's talk to Paul Nolte, the portfolio manager at Kingsview Investment Management. Look at that, Paul. A couple of good reports, and I'm ready to start spending again.
Yeah, I'm just finishing up my Reuben sandwich here, so absolutely. Put that one on the list.
Yes.
We had some good reports, and consumer sentiment was front and center, at least today. And it indicated that sentiment has actually improved a little bit, and related to inflation, maybe a little bit better. And certainly the inflation reports of the last 2 days give some credence to the fact that maybe the rate of inflation has peaked out and is starting to come down a little bit. And that's, I think, what's got investors excited, at least on the equity side, and part of the reason why we've seen the markets jump as much as they have.
You said something in one of your reports about if you factored in only commodities or factored them out. What were you talking about there?
So the CPI report is a perfect example. We got essentially zero month over month. Pretty much all of that is attributed to the decline in energy prices. So we've seen the pump price for gas come down dramatically. And in the report, it was down 16% over the course of the month. And that wiped out all the gains that we saw in food and shelter, et cetera. So when you smush them all together, essentially inflation was zero. And when you look at commodity prices in general, you look at energy, cotton, corn, soybeans, gold and metals, those have come down about 10 to 15% from the middle part of June. So as long as commodity prices in general come down, those are a lot of the inputs that go into a lot of the goods that get manufactured. And so that's where we could see a continued reduction in inflation.
Would that explain maybe the lag, though, in the reduction of the number, but the prices haven't changed dramatically at the grocery store?
Yeah, and that's the odd part when you think about inflation. You say, well, all right, inflation's come down, but the prices are still going up. Yes, they're going up at a slower pace. So, you know, if it's something goes from $1 to $1.05, that's a 5% rate of inflation. And then it goes from $1.05 to $1.08, that's now 3%, maybe a little less than 3% inflation, but the prices are still going up. And that's where people kind of get confused about that and say, well, yeah, but prices are still going up. Yes, they are, but just at a slower rate.
I'm also thinking, though, okay, so cotton's down 12%. But the shirt at the store is still expensive and maybe even goes up a little bit. But that's because it's going to take a while for that cotton to get turned into a shirt. So there's going to be a delay before you actually see these at a consumer level. Is that part of it also?
It is. It very much is. So everything in the economy works with a lag effect. So the prices have come down on energy. We're just now starting to see dramatic decreases at the pump. You're right in the fact of, you know, corn prices may have come down some. It's going to take a while for that to work its way into feed for cattle and pigs, et cetera, and then finally to your table. The same is true with interest rates. So as the Fed has raised interest rates, that impact has really not yet been felt in the economy as people adjust to new higher rates for loans, et cetera, and trying to figure out whether a project that they might start is going to be profitable or not.
I'm going to put you on hold here and we'll come back because I wonder if that means that the worst then of inflation is yet to come. Some of these problems are still going to have to work their way through the system before we come out on the other end, or not. Paul Nolte from Kingsview is talking to us a little bit about the lag time in inflation and how the inputs now will come out later. I wonder if that means that maybe, hooray, the numbers have been good this week, but maybe we haven't seen the last of inflation, Paul. What do you think about that?
It's possible. I think what we're going to see is the rate slow down. I think, you know, even if we were to get zero for the rest of the year, you're still looking at a total yearly inflation of 5% for 2023 or 2022. So it's still well above the Fed's target of 2%. I think we get down to 5-6% without too much trouble as things start to normalize a little bit. We've shifted inflation from goods now to services, so hotels, airlines, car rental, that type of thing, as people start traveling around. But I think that move from 6% down to the Fed's target of 2% is going to be very difficult to do. And that's going to take some time. And that's part of the reason why the Fed is still saying, hey, by the way, we're still going to be raising rates here going forward.
Well, nobody said they were going to fix it fast, right? I mean, was there any expectation that we'd be down to 3% by Christmas?
We went from inflation being transitory to, holy cow, it's really high, to we're on the job, don't worry about it. And now people are saying, well, you know, it's going to be a few years. So, and that's all happened within the last 12 months.
Yeah.
So it's difficult. It's really hard to gauge it. In an economy of this size, with so much in the way of inputs and international, we're hearing about the Rhine River in Germany drying up. Well, that's going to impact goods and services, goods especially, moving through Europe. And that may have a knock-on effect here in the United States at some point as well. So I don't think we're through it all, but I think the rates will come down, but still be above where the Fed would be comfortable with.
Paul, some of our guests also point to housing and new constructions or new home purchases. And if interest rates are high, and that means people are less likely to buy a house, or they're going to buy less house, then eventually, maybe when these houses would normally be built or normally be sold, we're not going to see as robust a market as we might otherwise. And that's going to be another drag on the economy. What do you think about the housing market?
The housing market is actually still in pretty good shape. When we take a look, and when people talk about the housing market, they all go back to 2008 and 2009 and the financial crisis. Today's homeowner has much more equity in the house, so even if housing prices come down a little bit, it's not as though they're going to turn the keys in. We're still light on housing stock, so there still needs to be a fair amount of houses to get built to handle the demand that we have. Demand has cooled off some, so there's not 20 people lined up outside of my house wanting to pay cash for it. But there still is a pretty good demand for housing, and that hasn't gone away yet. So I think the housing market, I think, is still, even with interest rates where they're at, which are still historically very low, is still in very good shape.
Consumer spending, what do you know about that?
Consumer spending, when you take a look at retail sales, and here's where we make the distinction between what consumers say, like in the Michigan survey this morning, and what they do, spending. Retail sales are still spending, they're up 6 to 8% on a year-over-year basis, so it's still very strong. Last month was up a little bit better than expected. One of the biggest concerns that we have is credit card debt. Revolving debt is also picking up pretty quickly, and that's a warning sign that maybe retail sales don't continue at this pace, or that consumers are a little bit over their skis as far as spending versus income.
There's still a lack of employees on the service side. Is that going to kind of keep inflation up as employers have to continue to sweeten the pot to get people to work?
I think so. One of the surveys that I saw this morning, there were some comments coming out of the airline industry. Total employment in the airline industry is now equal to or slightly ahead of where it was in December of 2019. But we still have a lot of problems with transportation and getting people from here to there, and ticket prices coming down. So there still is, I think, a higher demand for things than there are things out there, whether it's services or goods. And so I think the demand needs to come down a little bit to balance that out. And then that's part and parcel for what the Fed is trying to do with raising interest rates and trying to get people to slow their pace down a little bit.
The airline industry has as many employees now as they did before the pandemic.
Yes. According to the Airline Institute that I read this morning, the total employment, now it doesn't break it out by pilots versus mechanics versus everybody else, but that was a big surprise. And I do know that people going through TSA, it's probably about 10 to 15% more than it was December of 2019. So again, that demand is higher as we can now move about the country and go places. People absolutely want to go places after not having been able to do so for much of the last 2 years.
Boy, but everybody that's been through an airport is happy to tell you about the delays or the canceled flights or the long TSA lines, etc. It's been so long since we haven't been in a supply chain shortage. Maybe we don't remember what it used to be like, really. Maybe all of those frustrations were there before the pandemic, but it doesn't seem to most of us like those problems have been completely alleviated. I will throw this caveat out. I mean, I'm speaking anecdotally here, and when Brenda and I went through O'Hare and a couple of other airports last month, it was great. We did not have any trouble, but I know a lot of people who have had problems getting through airports.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely the case. The flying that I've done recently has been pretty good. But, this last week with weather here in Chicago, certainly a big hub had created chaos all over the place. So there's still a mismatch between people wanting to go places where they want to go, or the planes where they need to be, the pilots where they need to be, et cetera. So, again, we just have not gotten everything, quote-unquote, right-sized. But what's interesting is take a look at the goods side. So Peloton just announced a few more layoffs. We see it in the chip sector and other goods side where people are getting laid off. Services, not so much. Everybody wants stuff, wants to go places. They don't want stuff as much anymore.
I'm out of time. Paul Nolte is the portfolio manager at Kingsview Investment Management. Click on kingsview.com. We'll talk again. Thanks, Paul.
I appreciate it. Take care.
Let's continue now on the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN. More business news with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Rivian Automotive, with a manufacturing plant in downstate Normal, is running behind its production goal of turning out 25,000 vehicles this year. The company made only 7,000 vehicles because of supply chain issues and growing pains. Following news of the missed target, the company says it'll add a second shift later this year to try to turn the situation around. It's also hoping to capitalize on improved parts availability. Rivian makes the R1T pickup, R1S SUV, and electric delivery vans for Amazon. The Normal assembly plant has an annual capacity of 150,000 units per year. Deerfield-based Walgreens is offering lucrative signing bonuses to fill open pharmacist positions. Some of those bonuses are as high as $75,000, according to a CNN report. Those bonuses come with a requirement that the new pharmacist stay at the company for a year or longer. News of the signing bonuses was first reported by the Wall Street Journal. The report says the average bonus is lower than $50,000. Worker shortages persist in several sectors, and pharmacists are among those in high demand. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
It's the business of food, and Steve Alexander.
It's a Mr. Fizz Friday, and we are sponsored by Chevy. DriveChicago.com. The Chevy Silverado HD. Experience life in HD. Chevy. DriveChicago.com. Well, Mr. Fizz, Jim Fizzell, our gardening guru, I guess we need to get our shovels and our backs ready to go.
Yeah, you do. It's time to go out and do some work in the garden. You know, they need a little bit of attention, particularly if we have some things that are done flowering, like the bulbs and some of the perennials. We need to take a look at those things, and I hope you labeled some of these while they were flowering so you know what they are and where they are, what colors they are, and so forth. Bulbs are really important. You need to dig them now, separate the clumps, and replant them using the biggest bulb. These often, especially tulips, they continue to make bulbs. You have a bunch of small ones and the bigger ones. The bigger ones are going to flower the best, and we get too many of them. The clumps get too big, so it's time to take these up, dig them up, replant the ones that you want to put where you want to put them, and maybe you want some for some other places in your yard, so this is the time to do that as well. So any of these things, you need to spade the soil to a depth of about 6 inches before you do any replanting. For bulbs, you need to set them at 2 to 3 times the depth of the bulb. If it's a 2-inch bulb, set it 4 inches deep and so forth. Be sure that you put the pointed end up on those. It's not that it won't grow. It can find its way to the tops a lot more quickly in spring if you plant them right side up. iris and daylilies, just about done blooming now. Again, you need to dig the clumps up, and you need to divide these into sections. The iris, you can tell where the rhizomes are very nicely on them. They grow kind of wherever they want to in the soil. One thing you need to do right now, iris borers will tend to be in these rhizomes, and you can get them out right now. These are large, maybe 2-inch long, pink-colored caterpillars at this time of year. Dig them out and take the pieces of rhizome that are rotted and discard them. Cut the fans of these iris back to about 6 or 8 inches tall and replant them best in full sun. Set the plants with the rhizomes just below the soil surface. Then once you've done that, be sure you update your garden plan and put your labels in with the colors and the size and the kinds. But if you don't know what the stuff is, you're going to have to wait until they flower next year.
Mr. Fizz, Jim Fizzell. From the farm to your belly, today is National Julienne Fries Day. Fries with the skin left on. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
So Grace Fuller joins us now, the general manager at citycruises.com. The general manager of City Experiences. Hey, Grace, you're on WGN. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Tell us what City Cruises is.
City Cruises is the largest dining boat operation in the Chicagoland area. We operate on the Chicago River and on Lake Michigan.
What are the name of
we
your boats then? I see a lot of boats. I see a lot of boats going up and down the river. Which ones are yours?
Ours is Odyssey Chicago River, which is the only dining vessel on the Chicago River.
Yeah, we saw that go by the other night. It's beautiful. That's the one that has the glass exterior. You can see the dining in and the diners can see out, right?
Exactly. It gives you panoramic views of the beautiful river walk.
How many boats do you have then? Is it the one or is there more?
No, we have 10 boats in total. So we have 5 sightseeing boats, and those are our Sea Dog boats. We have 4 lake boats and river boats, and we have 1 Sea Dog Extreme, which does the extreme tours on the Lake Michigan with the 360 and 180 turns. It's like a roller coaster on the lake. And then we have 5 dining vessels, Odyssey Chicago River, which I just spoke about, Odyssey Lake Michigan, which is on Navy Pier, Spirit of Chicago, Spirit of Navy Pier, Chicago Elite.
So do they all go on the river and the lake, or do you pick which one you want? You want the lake trip or you want the river trip?
Right. So the dining vessel on the river was actually designed to go under the bridges on the Chicago River. So that is the only one of our vessels that can do that. Our other boats go on Lake Michigan and do 2-hour and 3-hour cruises.
We did that 1 year for Father's Day, and it was a windy day, but it was a lot of fun. Does that happen sometimes? Can the chop get too much? Will it cancel some of the lake trips?
Typically, no. Our vessels are pretty large. You might feel a little bit of rolling, but typically you don't feel a whole lot. It's very comfortable.
Now, the Air and Water Show is back. Are you guys doing a special on that?
We sure are. We have a lot of cruises to choose from on all of our vessels. We have signature cruises and Premier Plus cruises. We'll be operating all weekend for those that show. And truly, we have the most amazing view of the show. It's completely unobstructed, and oftentimes they go right overhead. And it's
I know.
Just amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. The Air and Water Show's next weekend, right?
It is.
It kind of snuck up on me there. So then the boat will be out on the water as the planes are streaking up and down the lakeshore?
Yes. And like I said, we have the most unparalleled views. I mean, it's just, they go right overhead. I think they get a kick out of going over the large vessels on the lakefront.
Yeah, they kind of buzz you guys. It's really spectacular. And you always, I think everybody knows that the best view is on the lake. There's no obstructed views out there. You don't have to worry. I mean, you do have to eventually park and get on the boat, but then you don't have to worry about traffic and people moving around you. You're out on the water. Are those dining and drinking trips as well, or are you just watching the planes?
No, they're dining and drinking trips as well. So there's a 3-course buffet menu on all of the cruises. There's something for everyone. Dietary restrictions, everything's taken care of there for people. And then we do have a full bar on all of our ships. And if it gets too hot or too cold, they're all temperature controlled as well. So if you don't want to be outside for any reason, you don't have to. You can stay at your personal table. There's no combined seating. Everyone gets their own table. for their party size, and it's very, very comfortable. And I think that's the other part. I think we all want to be comfortable right now and have our space, and this allows for that.
Now, you're doing it Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Of course, you do it throughout the summer, but for the Air and Water Show. But Friday's the practice day, right?
Yes, but, you know, Friday for us, I mean, there's certainly things can change, but usually Friday's a pretty good day to be out on the water. That's kind of the practice day. It's where they do a couple tricks and see what they're planning for the weekend, and it's a lot of fun. It's a little bit less crowded. It's certainly a great show as well.
So then, and the show, so then do you coincide it? So I'm looking at your Saturday schedule. I'm reading the Signature Spirit Early Air and Water Show Brunch Cruise. That's 9:30 to 11. And then the Air and Water Show goes later in the day. Do you line it up so you're, I want the cruise where the planes are doing the show.
Yeah, then I would definitely do the 2 o'clock board and the 2:30 to 5 cruise, or the 1 to 4 cruise. That allows for you to see a little bit more of the air part. The early ones are for the water portion.
CityCruises.com is the website. What's the price range on these? Friday, Saturday, Sunday, early, late? How much, how little?
They range from $64.90 to about $104.90, depending on what type of product you'd like to go on.
Product, meaning boat or kind of food or beverage?
There's a signature product, which is more of a casual product, and that's our Spirit boats. And then there's the Premier and Premier Plus products, which is our Odyssey products, Odyssey Lake Michigan and Odyssey Chicago River.
And we're talking about the boats on the lake. Does the river boat also offer, I suppose you could see some of this from the river as well, right?
We do have cruises on the river as well, yes.
Yeah. Actually, though, if you want to see the Air and Water Show, you want to be out on the lake. You'll be obstructed on the river, I suppose. So better maybe you do the lake. You've got vacancies? You still got room on these boats?
We certainly do, and we are looking to have those boats filled up. We'd love to have everyone out there to see the show. It's a great day. It's a great experience. We have games. It's available for all ages. It's really just a fun day on the water.
The weather's been pretty good lately. How's business been?
Business is great. We're having a great season. Things have been going very well. It's really been a really good season. I think people are ready to get back out there and experience different experiences, and we certainly have something that's unique and something that's really true to the city.
That's a good way to put it, true to the city. I mean, other places have water show or air and water shows, and other places have air and water, but Chicago has the most beautiful lakefront on the cityscape with the Air and Water Show happening right there. I mean, it's all right there. Imagine then with a beer in your hand or a soda pop or a sandwich, and you're watching it fly right overhead. CityCruises.com is the website. And then after the Air and Water Show, how long do you all run during the season? When does your season end, Grace?
It doesn't. We cruise all year round.
Grace Fuller is the general manager of City Experiences at CityCruises.com. Good luck to you. Good weather to us all. Thank you, Grace.
Thank you.